Hi, everyone. Welcome in a new episode of my podcast. I'm very excited that you're tuning in because we have a very special guest here today. I'm very excited that I have Ron Johnson on the show. And Ron is the CEO and co-founder of Enjoy, the first mobile retail store. And we're going to dive into that concept in great detail today. But Ron has a very impressive resume. And he's really, really known for all the work he did when he was working at Apple. He created and was leading the Apple stores in their first 12 years. And after that, Ron was also the CEO of JCPenney. And today he's running a very, very cool company in the retail space. So I'm very excited that we have one of the leaders in the retail world here in the podcast today. Welcome, Ron, and thank you for being here.
Well, Stephen, that's a very kind introduction. So I hope I can live up to it, but thank you very much.
All right. I'm sure you can. Maybe to start off, Ron, your latest company, Enjoy. I'm a big fan of the concept. I've been using it in my keynote presentations for the last few weeks since I got to know you. But for the listeners, can you pitch Enjoy to the audience?
It's a very simple idea. I'm a student of retail. I've been working in the retail industry, principally in the United States, for 4 decades. And you know, every once in a while, a new format comes along. You know, when I started in retail, the specialty store was a new format. Then there were outlet malls. And then there was online shopping, right? That was a new format in the 90s and has grown for a couple of decades now. Well, I believe the next frontier of shopping is the home. You know, we live in a world today that's exceptionally mobile. We expect things to be delivered to the door. We expect things to happen in the home. We're working from home. We're studying from home. Well, the home's the best place to shop as well for many products. And so what Enjoy does is we deliver a full retail experience in the home for free. And we can do everything the store can do, but in the comfort of your home. And we operate mobile stores now in the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom. For companies like Apple, you know, where I, you know, kind of led the development of the physical store.
Right.
For the large telcos, like in Germany, it'd be potentially a Deutsche Telekom. We actually work with British Telecom in the UK, AT&T in the United States. So when their customers go to order online or talk to a call center rep, instead of having the product delivered to the door, a trained full-time employee will bring the product to your home and spend up to about 45 minutes with you for free, getting you up and running on the new device, making sure it connects with your life, and making sure you're doing all of it with it that you can. And so it's basically, instead of having, you know, all online shopping end up with a thud at the door, it's putting an experience on the end of an online shopping experience. And in my belief, Stephen, is that, you know, premium companies, you expect engagement. These products are really important to your life. I spend 5 hours a day on my phone.
Yeah,
I want to make sure I'm using it. And so you need engagement. And so how do you create a great experience for an online shopper in a digital world if you're a premium brand? So we operate stores for premium brands.
Wow. And I love the concept where you bring services to the customer. In the old world, you know, marketing budget was spent to make sure that the customer would come to you. They had to come to your store or your website or your event. And that's how you invested your marketing dollars. Today, you see more and more companies that, you know, turn that model upside down, where the services build around the customer. Like you have Peloton bikes, you have VR experiences with personal trainers. And you know, what you guys do at Enjoy is, for me, a confirmation of that trend, that the service now moves towards the customer wherever they may be. And the home is obviously the place where we spend most of our time. Now, I have a question about the concept. I hear you talk about Apple, Deutsche Telekom, a lot of telco, mobile phones. When I looked at the references that you guys have, that's clearly the focus where you enter the market. How do you see this evolve over time? Do you think this is an approach that can be useful in multiple categories? Yeah. Or do you think this is really consumer electronics that you need to focus on?
No, consumer electronics is a category that we've selected for a variety of reasons, but it's going to happen everywhere. You know, you've got it right, Stephen. It's really commerce at home. That's the new category. If you think of, you want to name it something, it's commerce at home. Peloton is a commerce at home platform. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to work out at SoulCycle at the studio, I get a bike, I get a subscription, and I work out at home. And it's very personalized. I can pick my instructor. I can work out when I want. I can work out as much as I want for a monthly rate. That's commerce at home, right? Airbnb is a commerce at home platform. We turn a spare bedroom into a hotel room, right? That's commerce at home. All of this is what's coming. And so I think every premium brand, you know, a decade from now, will have some type of commerce at home experience. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a category that's just rapidly growing, especially in Europe. It's electric bikes.
Right.
Right. Well, electric bikes, a lot of the leaders today deliver the bike to your home, fit it, you do your test drive at the home, you get it serviced at your home, you know, you never go to the store, right? Mm-hmm. And so these new categories that are coming out, instead of building this old model of retail stores, they're jumping right to delivering the product to the home, yep. right? And that's what's happening in the US in the electric bike business. And I know it's happening in parts of Europe as well. You know, electric cars, Tesla delivers the car to your home. Mm-hmm. You have a repair, they come to your home and pick it up, right?
Yeah.
So this is happening all around us. We just haven't intellectually put our heads around it and realized this is the next frontier of commerce.
Yeah, I love that concept of commerce at home. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. I love the category of e-bikes. It's a booming business. People want to make sure it's the right thing that they buy. So, yeah. You know, when it's an important decision of something that you buy, a premium brand or something that is really important in your life, that's the moment that you need that.
So let me give you an example, Stephen. Here's how much money there is in this. It's really interesting. The average e-bike in the United States sells for about $2,000.
Yeah.
The bike industry, it's always sold to these mom and pop independent bike distributors. They get margins of 40%. So every time they sell a bike, the manufacturer pays them about $800 for an e-bike. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm a manufacturer and I've got a new company, I can sure afford to deliver an amazing experience at home if someone wants to test drive a bike or buy a bike. Mm-hmm. I got $800 that I'm giving away to the old distribution model, which is the bike store, that I could then invest in the customer experience.
Right.
Well, which is going to create a better experience for a new brand?
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it. Right.
Yeah,
and exactly. So the reality is these retail stores, which will be a big part of the future, are super expensive to operate. You got to, you know, spend a lot of money on rent. Mm-hmm. And with fewer people come to the store, the cost to serve every customer goes up. Right. The costs are largely fixed for retail. So there's diminishing returns in retail stores. So if you want to figure out an engagement, you got to find a lower cost, better way to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's to bring the store to the customer. If they're not going to come to you, bring the store to them.
And is that how the business model for you also works? That, you know, the Apple is paying you a fee to take care of that service? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's always free to the customer.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the big debates. People said, well, wait, if someone's going to come to my home and spend up to an hour with me, shouldn't I pay for that? I tend to pay for even fast delivery. Mm-hmm. And like I told Apple and I told our partners, well, the store is more expensive to operate than what I do. So the moment you charge a ticket for someone to come to the store, you can charge for an enjoy experience. Mm-hmm. And they kind of scratched their head and said, okay. So we do it for free.
Yeah.
But the way we make money is we make money when we sell things. So it's not like a retail store. A retail store, when you go in the store, you don't pay them anything when you arrive. But if you deliver a great experience, a certain percent of people buy things. Mm-hmm. And the retailer generates margin from selling things. And that's what we do. So we deliver the product at home. We deliver a great experience. You know, when you decide, you know, we carry all the products in the driveway that you'd find in the store. So if you buy something, we get paid a little bit for that. And just like a retail store, when we engage well, we earn money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fantastic concept. The challenge that I assume you would have is finding enough people to scale the business to make sure that you can do the deliveries, plus do them in a way that it is a fantastic customer experience for everyone. Is that a right assumption? Is that the biggest
Stephen, you're exactly right. This is all about the people. You know, like the Apple stores I ran, you know, the people were really important, but we had the benefit of a beautiful physical store. that we located in the center of where you shop in your hometown. Mm-hmm. And that store itself had a lot of value to it, and the environment and the ambiance, all mm-hmm. the people. We've got a single person who has to show up and represent Apple in the home mm-hmm. for you and your family, for all your devices. So in many ways, it's a harder challenge because you don't have the backstop of a store.
Right.
So you got to pick great people, and you got to motivate great people, and you got to deliver great service. But our lifetime NPS, I think, is 88.
Wow.
Net promoter scores, you know, is the most common way we measure quality. And that's a really good number.
Yeah. And that's an amazing number. It's one of the highest I've ever heard. And how do you train people to make sure that they do the right delivery, or what kind of skills are you looking for? Can you talk a little bit about that? How you make sure that people, because you're not there in a retail store, if you're the manager, you can see what's going on, and you can see who's doing a good job and who needs some more coaching, but you're not there. People are just with your customer all by themselves. How does that work? That training, coaching, skill selection?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We actually have more engagement with the experience of the customer than we ever did in a physical store.
Really?
Because through our data platform, we instrument everything.
Okay.
So for instance, if I've got one of my experts, it drops, I've got to bring Steven a new Mac in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the expert reached out to you via text. I see the moment he or she did that. I see that you talked on the phone. I know when she arrived at your home. I know how much time she spent with you. I know the moment the Mac got activated. I know how many minutes into the visit that happened. I know what you bought in the visit, right? Mm-hmm. I know, did you launch new Apple services? So through our data platform, I get a visual picture of everything that happened. And we have our store manager is watching a kind of like an air traffic controller, seeing all the experts running around your town, delivering experience and making sure that we're doing a great job, that we're on time, that we're spending quality time, that we're engaging, that we've activated the device, that you're up and running. And then we get our feedback afterwards. So we actually have very good visibility into what the expert does. And at the end of the day, we know, you know, Mary did 7 experiences. They were all great. She averaged 40 minutes per experience. And we know that she's probably doing a pretty good job, right?
Yeah.
In a store, I don't know. I just see people talking to people. I don't really know how they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of thing. But it's all about having a good profile, who you're going to hire. It's selecting great people. It's training great people. And then it's, you know, creating a mission where they want to deliver great experiences. Mm-hmm. And we've got a good profile for what we look for. It's people that love people and love technology. They got to have both. They've got to be very entrepreneurial. They got to be kind of a self-starter because mm-hmm. they're on their own, you know, making that happen.
Right.
They got to love people. And, but if they do that, they'll do a great job.
Yeah.
And then we train people for, I guess, 3 weeks now before they get started, which is a good length of time. And then as they do their first experiences, they'll go along with someone who's a veteran, and they'll spend a few days riding along, going to the visits, making sure they know how to do this in the home. Mm-hmm. It's a different experience, but then they get better. You know, they get better every day. I remember when we launched the iPhone, you'll like this story, Stephen. That was, you know, Steve Jobs said to me, Ron, how long in advance do your teams get to see the iPhone? Because we're trying to keep this really confidential. And I said, well, I'd say if you give them an hour, they'll be ready to go. He said, is that all an hour? I said, well, if they touch this thing, they're going to be so excited. But at the end of one full day, they'll have shown this new iPhone to 200 people and they'll be experts, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with our teams. The more experiences they deliver, they get better and better at doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's brilliant. I didn't think about it as, you know, your service being in data platform, but you're absolutely right that there's so many data points that you have that you can measure that, mm-hmm. you know, that it's a brilliant way to benchmark your employees to see how far they can go in delivering services. So it's an extremely
Like, for example, we look at the data between the length of the experience and the NPS.
Yeah.
They're directly correlated. So is we know something.
The shorter, the better. Is that how it works?
No, the longer, the better.
The longer, the better. Okay.
Yeah, because people value it. Now, we spend as much time as the customer wants.
Yeah.
But where we don't do well is if we're in a hurry. If we just show up and go quickly, the odds are we didn't do a lot, right? Oh. And you think about it, like I mentioned earlier, my average length of time on my iPhone is 5.5 hours a day. You know, we all look at our screen time and all that because I use it mainly for work. Well, is it worth 30 minutes of my time if I'm going to use that 5 hours a day to have an expert?
Of course.
Give me tips and tricks and make sure it's optimized for how I live my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course it is. Is it worth getting the whole family around the kitchen table and everyone pull out their Apple devices and making sure the family has their group text figured out? Mm-hmm. That if we've got kids, we've got appropriate internet settings for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff, that takes time, right? Yeah. So the more time you spend, you know, it tends to relate to a better experience.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, huh? Because today every company tries to be fast, extremely convenient, self-service, and what you're doing is the exact opposite. And it's when I dive into customer satisfaction surveys, I often do that. That's one of my hobbies. Yeah. You always see that if you had an extraordinary human helping you and a human that is willing to spend time with you, a human that is easy to reach, a human that knows what he or she is talking about, is the most valuable thing in a customer relationship.
Right.
And it almost feels like most organizations have forgotten that. And I think that's the core of your success today, that people
cannot find
this kind of service anymore.
Yeah, you got to be in a hurry to get to the customer, right?
Yeah.
People don't want to wait. If you say you're going to be there at 10 o'clock, you want to be there at 10 o'clock. You want to call them in advance. They know you're coming at 10. But once you get there, you want to slow down. Right. You want to spend that time. You want to make a friend. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the missing link today. We're in a world that's very transactional in terms of experience.
True.
Most like when I go, most of it's really good. You know, I take a train. I just take out my contactless, you know, my iPhone or a card and I just go, you know, mm-hmm. That's all good. But in a perfect world, technology should enable a greater human connection. And so you got to use technology in ways that make it super efficient, that you're on time, that you don't waste time. But yeah. Then when you get there, you want to slow down and really spend quality time.
I love that. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on my next question. There's a lot to do about the metaverse and everything that is linked to it, the Web3 hype that you see right now, but especially the metaverse. Do you think that you could come up with an enjoy experience in a metaverse kind of world? Or do you think, no, that's totally impossible? We need that at-home commerce with that human-to-human connection. I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anyone really knows what the metaverse is going to look like a decade from now. But we're talking about 20 years. You know, to me, what enjoy's doing now for online shopping, you know, it's been about 20 plus years of online shopping. And now we're finally having customized experience at the end of an online shop. It's not just a delivery, mm-hmm. You get more. Yeah, there will be things that evolve in the metaverse, you know, 10, 20 years from now that are related to the shopping experience. There's no doubt about that. And as that evolves, you know, we would participate in that. But it's a long way away. You know, the metaverse is not ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a handful of early adopters, you know, doing things now. And I can see why a Facebook would want to get ahead of that. Platforms are a big deal. Look at how valuable the smartphone platform is, right?
Yep.
Look at how valuable the PC was for Microsoft for years and still is.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Microsoft has never been worth more money than now.
Mm-hmm.
And at the core of it, it's a PC platform company. That started 40, 50 years ago. It's still worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Apple is the leader in Google in the kind of the smartphone platforms. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Search and all that.
Yes.
Those are multi-decade platforms. I can see where a Facebook that's struggling with its business model for a lot of reasons would be trying to get in front of the next big technology platform, which could be the metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so there's going to be a lot of money put into this and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. And I like the comparison with e-commerce. You're right. If you think about how we ordered books from Amazon in 2001 versus today, what Amazon has become, it's a different world. So it's going to be the same thing here.
Yeah, that's what Steve, you know, Steve taught me that, you know, there's no such thing as great vision. Steve said, I don't have great vision. I just do one thing at a time and I learn from that and I do the next thing. It becomes very obvious. Mm-hmm. But like when we were at Apple, when we, you know, you look back and you think, oh, they had this grand strategy about digital devices and they're going to create an app store and it's going to all connect together on these devices. And no one had a vision for that. That happened, you know, kind of one product at a time. You know, when we launched the smartphone, the iPhone, there wasn't really an app store. There were a handful of apps you had there. And then we built out an app store and then people started to create apps, but it took a long time. It wasn't until, you know, 2010-12 when apps really took off. It's when Spotify started, Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. But it wasn't an overnight success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've forgotten that. It's been so long and it's so normal today that we've forgotten that you always have this traditional S-curve for any kind of new approach or new technology. But yeah. Ron, now that I have you in the podcast, can I ask you a few questions about your time at Apple? Because I'm so fascinated about that.
Sure.
And you were, you know, the leader of the program to create the Apple stores. And we all know that the Apple stores are the most successful retail stores the world has ever seen. And I'm very curious, how did that process work? I mean, how did you come up with the idea concept? And can you share some insights with us about that process?
Sure. No, it was fun. It was really fun. I had been working at a large retailer and Steve picked me to kind of lead the retail group for Apple. And it was really nice. He put me on the executive team. You know, my first day was at an executive team meeting. And I look back, that's a pretty big honor to work on Apple's executive team. But
exactly.
Retail was very important to him. And so I was the first hire. So I spent my first 2 months, my only meeting I had really was going to the ET meeting once a week. And then I'd think about an Apple store. You know, how big should it be? Where would it be located? How do you think about the service experience? What's the vision for it? And then I started to slowly hire people and build a team. And about a year, it was exactly a year, so 17 months after I joined Apple, we opened our first store. And it took that long to kind of put it together. Okay. Steve played a big part of it. Once, about 3 months after I'd been there, we started these weekly meetings at a warehouse near Apple's headquarters where Steve would come, you know, once a week, and we spent a few hours kind of talking about the store, and then we'd start to build it out. Here's how big it's be. We'd create that kind of space, and then let's organize it this way. So we'd create all these mock-ups, and you know, we just kind of designed that Apple store experience, you know, over a period of 17 months, and it was really fun to do. Really fun to do. Steve played a big part in it.
And was he very? I mean, did he have a concept that was close to what it has become, or did it evolve in those 17 months significantly that you thought, okay, what we ended up with was completely different than what we...
No, it was actually, it was very simple. I mean, when it started, it was amazing because Steve and I saw it pretty like, the first thing is, you know, I said to Steve, you know, retail stores generally are the size of the product line. So how big's the product line? And we were sitting in his office, yes. Well, all of our products are on this conference room table. And I said, that's 32 square feet. That's going to be a really small store. And then I just started to say, well, how big is the brand? Is it as big as the Gap? The Gap was a very popular American retailer at the time. Mm-hmm. He said, we're much bigger. And I said, well, their stores are 6,000 square feet. Why don't we build a 6,000 square feet store? He says, that sounds great. So then we had to fill it with stuff. Well, with the beauty of that, because our product line was so narrow, we could imagine all of these experiences to put in an Apple store. Mm-hmm. We said, it's all about engagement. So what's going to get people to come? Well, they got to get their hands on the product. Well, let's put out a lot of devices to try. All the... Let's organize the store around things you might want to do with a computer. And so we organized back then around iPhoto and iMovie and, you know, music, because those were kind of incoming new ideas. We could take your digital picture and put it on a computer and share with a friend. And so we organized a store around solutions. Mm-hmm. And then we created a place for help. We called it the Genius Bar. And then we put a theater in where, because people liked Macworlds. And what if you'd come and listen to someone present about the Mac? You know, so it was just sort of an evolution. But it was pretty close to where we started. It was going to be a place to engage. Yeah. You're either going to talk to a person or you're going to get your hands on a product, but nothing else.
Yeah, and it still works today. My children, I have two boys, they're 10 and 12. And yeah. If we are in a city where there's an Apple store, they already see the logo, you know, from hundreds of meters away. And then they're like, hey, Dad, there's an Apple store there. We need to go in and we want to spend time on all those devices. And then we go in. And then after half an hour or 45 minutes, we have to drag them out to.
Well, you know, we forget when we launched the Apple stores. Do you know there wasn't a single really computer store, phone store that you could try a product? It was too hard. Wi-Fi didn't even exist.
Yeah, true.
You know, so back then it was revolutionary that you could come in and get on a computer. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting, there weren't many Mac users, but our store became a big internet cafe. And so the early traffic to an Apple store is people would say, well, I'll just come to the mall. I'll meet you at the Apple store because I can just check my email or I can get online. And so suddenly the stores were just jammed with people. It looked like Apple was really popular, but we had a free internet cafe. But that's what made it interesting. You know, we created a place people wanted to be, like your kid today.
Yeah, it still works. It's amazing. I love that. Congratulations with what you've done there. I'm a huge fan. Maybe a last question, Ron. If you now look at, you know, you've done the Apple stores, you created Enjoy. How do you see that future? Will they coexist, or do you see a future where the home becomes more important than the retail store? What do you think will happen in the next two decades?
Yeah, no. Here's what I believe. I believe stores will be a part of our future for the next 1,000 years, as they have for the last 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. They're going to be different, right? And they're already changing a lot in terms of what stores are, how we use them. We don't need a store to buy a product, but a store is a great place to learn about a product, right? Store is a great place to get help with a product. So stores will evolve. But I think the big change is that in this mobile world we live in, 50 years from now, a majority of our, what we call retail experiences, will happen in our homes. Because that's where we use our products. And the complexity is not any one device, it's how we use them together. You know, so today, a lot of people are watching television, they're cutting the cord and using these streaming platforms and figuring out how to do that on multiple TVs with multiple family members, how to travel when I do that. What platform should I use? Should I use Netflix? Should I use Apple? How do I do that? You know, that's complexity, right? Mm-hmm. And the ideal place to do that is where you use the product, where I can sit at home and explore that with you, mm-hmm. right? And so I just think we'll be in an omni-channel world, but we'll be having experiences at stores and we're having experience at home. What will become less common will be the dumb delivery for premium products, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be less common. That'll be what we do for convenience goods. Mm-hmm. And that's what Amazon's really good at anyway. That's what GoPuff and all these quick commerce companies are good at. So we'll have a lot of delivery of things, but we'll also have a lot of experiences in the home.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that world. I love good service. So I cannot wait until we have Enjoy here in Belgium so that I can, you know, experience your company myself. That would be.
Stephen, you live in a great country. You know, one of the things I loved about my Apple job is I got to go everywhere. And Belgium's a great place. So
thank you.
Congratulations to you. Well, thanks for letting me join you today. It's been a great conversation for me, and I wish you the best in everything.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored that you took the time to talk to me. Thanks for your insights and for being here. I also want to thank the people who listened. If you enjoyed our conversation, please share this episode with your network, with your friends, colleagues, and I hope to hear you again and see you again in one of my next podcast episodes. Thanks for being here. All right, I'm going to stop the recording.